and the wind scatter the ash.
You're listening to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains. I'm Diana Mason, and yes, we are writing a better story. I often cover mental and behavioral health issues on this program because they're so important to the health of the people who live here, to the families, to the communities in our region, and there are national issues as well, of course. Well, some weeks ago, I was delighted to have on this program Doug Elston to talk about his priorities as the fairly new, getting to be old here, Doug, Director of Community Service for Delaware County, and he oversees the mental health and substance use services through the state offices of mental health and alcoholism and substance abuse services in the county. That's a mouthful, Doug. Thank you for coming back on to Health Center in the Catskills.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
So let's talk about how much of a problem suicide is in Delaware County.
Yes. Unfortunately, suicide is a serious problem here in our county. Unfortunately, we've had some of the higher rates per capita compared to other counties in the state for many years. Based on statistics provided by OMH and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Delaware County experiences approximately 20 suicides per 100,000. The state average is 8.4 per 100,000. Of course, we don't have 100,000 in our county. Our last census a few years ago indicated that we have about 44,470 residents. In other words, we have about twice the suicide rate per capita as that of the other counties in New York State, unfortunately.
And why do you think that is?
I think there's a number of factors that contribute to that. You know, on a positive note, recent data has shown that since 2017, we've had 6 to 7 suicides a year. And on a positive note, that's a decrease since 2016 when we had a high of 13 suicides here in our county. Another positive note would be looking at the statistics nationally. New York is in a much better place when compared to other states. As mentioned a moment ago, New York's per capita rate is 8.4 per 100,000. There's only one other state in the country that has a lower suicide rate per capita, and that would be New Jersey. They come in at 7.7 per capita. By comparison, for example, Montana has a high rate. Alaska, Wyoming, New Mexico, Utah, those states and a few others, they have per capita rates that are even above ours of 20%. What do we all have in common? Delaware County has in common with those other states is our rural home. Factors that contribute, I think, to the high suicide rate here in Delaware County include things like social isolation, perceived hopelessness, alcohol and substance abuse, which we know just exacerbates symptoms of mental illness. Lack of transportation is a significant factor that gets in the way of people accessing not only mental health, behavioral health services, but general health services as well.
And to be connected, right?
Just
be connected.
Yes, relationships really are key. Another factor would be access to firearms. We know that firearms are near the top as far as lethality and means to commit suicide, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I know that you're very focused on how do we prevent suicide. So if we could start with what do we need from a policy perspective, programmatic perspective, to prevent suicides, and then we'll move on to what can individual people do.
Well, for here, for our behavioral health facility here in Walton, in the last year, we've had all of our clinicians trained in a suicide assessment approach called the CASE approach. It's an evidence-based approach referred to as chronological assessment of suicidal events. It's an interviewing technique that really has been found effective in eliciting suicidal thoughts from individuals. Many people might have risk factors, but they are not at risk of suicide. And there are some people who don't appear to have risk factors, but they might actually be at high risk of suicide. So getting to that information is through the interview process. So we have all of our clinicians trained in this approach. It also helps decrease the unnecessary hospitalizations of people who they're struggling, but they may not really need that higher level of treatment. Other policy and procedures that we have here at the clinic is that we have more robust action when a individual is hospitalized or visiting an emergency room, that we communicate with the hospitals, the discharging units, the crisis centers. And when that individual is discharged and they come to our clinic, they could be seen at increased frequency. There's increased monitoring. We also take a look at social determinants of health. That's a subject that the last few years, the State Office of Mental Health, the Department of Health, has really put emphasis on, because if people don't have their basic needs being met, it really is a struggle for them to meaningfully engage in any treatment services. So that's something that we are also, as a clinic, pursuing and evaluating to help people access the services that they need.
And for people who don't know what social determinants of health are, those are things like adequate housing, access to healthy food, access to safe environments, education, all of those things, satisfying job, etc.
Yes.
And it's actually proving to be more of have a greater effect on health and healthcare.
Yes.
So
many people might recall Maslow's hierarchy of needs that I think was published back in, I think, maybe the 60s or 70s.
60s.
Yes.
Yeah, health professionals are, I think we all grew up with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that somebody can't really be their full selves if they don't have adequate housing, food, and feel safe. And there's a whole hierarchy of needs. Another policy question I wanted to ask you about was, I got an email the other day asking me to advocate for, and I have to go back to it because I didn't have time to really address it and follow up, asking for me to advocate that the 988 number, which is when you are, instead of calling 911 when somebody is having a psychiatric or a mental health crisis, that you call 988, and that number will connect you with some kind of service. But this was asking for advocacy to connect, have the 988 have the capacity to connect to local services.
Yeah.
Do you know about that, and can you tell us where we're at in this county with this?
Yeah, so we have 988 here in our county as well. The challenge, as my understanding is say an individual who resides in our county has a cell phone, and they purchase the cell phone or the service in a different area code. So they might have a different area code. So when you call 988, the person at the other end, they see that area code, and they connect the person with service providers from that area code, not necessarily in the county that they might actually reside. So that is a significant issue that what I could tell you is people at the state are aware of it, at the Department of Health, at the Department of Mental Health, and they're looking for ways to remedy that.
Well, that's really interesting. So if somebody is calling that number, it's pretty important to say where you're located.
Yeah.
And the other issue, of course, that I wanted to ask about had to do with funding for mental health services, knowing that we face a workforce shortage. But this whole idea of investing proactively in the workforce and the programs that foster mental health.
Yes, Governor Hochul's budget, I believe last year, put forth a $1 billion investment in providing mental health services across a wide continuum of different type of services, to include increasing the number of psychiatric inpatient beds. One of the significant gaps in services is crisis centers. For example, in the central region of New York, there's only two crisis centers. One is in Binghamton, and the other one is closer to the Canadian border. So the governor has put in her budget funding to open new CPEPs, Comprehensive Psychiatric Emergency Service Programs, that are usually attached to emergency departments. The challenge is really for hospitals really to pursue that. They have to put together a lot of data and propose the RFP to the state, and that's where things at the state level kind of go at a slower pace than we would like to see.
So, Doug, my husband died right after Christmas, early January in 2023, and I was having some grief issues, and I was trying to locate somebody for some mental health counseling around grief, and I couldn't find anybody that wasn't already overloaded. So from the standpoint of preventing suicide, of helping people when they're struggling before they get to the point of contemplating suicide, what is there any hope on that front, that we're going to be building better mental health services that can intervene early?
Yes, I think so. One is I want to extend my condolences to you, Diane, for your loss. I do know that prior to the pandemic that there were grief counselors. We had a few clinicians here at the clinic who kind of specialized in grief treatment with clients. They facilitated some groups both here in Delaware County as well in Otsego County. Unfortunately, they've retired, and we haven't had clinicians really fill that gap yet. Specifically related to those who are struggling and thinking about suicide, thinking about ending their life, we always want to convey hope. Relationships really are important. One of the myths out there that unfortunately continues is this thought that if we ask individuals, are they thinking about taking their lives, are they thinking about committing suicide, that we might somehow be compelling them or giving them ideas. And research has, in my clinical experience, has clearly shown that is not the case. So seeing someone, hearing about someone, knowing about someone who may be struggling, a loss is a good example, approaching that person in a warm, curious manner and asking them some pretty straightforward questions can be very, very powerful. The State Office of Mental Health has released this relatively new program. It's called QPR, Question, Persuade, and Refer. And I really like the mantra. The mantra is, you don't need to be a pulmonologist to perform CPR, and you don't need to be a clinician to perform QPR. And it's about an hour-long training. Anyone can take the training. It's for free. And it really gives the individual tools to how to approach an individual that you're worried about, you're concerned about, and gently ask them questions to elicit from them what are they thinking and how are they feeling, and at the same time convey to them that we're here for you, we want to help, and that we're with them.
I want to just share with you and listeners that I actually experienced the difference that it can make to ask do exactly what you just said. I have it was then a young person in my life who I cared deeply about, who was very depressed, and I was so concerned that I asked him, have you thought about taking your own life, committing suicide? And he said, yes. And I said to him, well, do you have a plan? And he said, no. And I said, well, know that I am in your corner. And before you get to the point where you would actually do something to end your life, please call me. And it, I think it made a huge difference in, to him. He's alive and well. And I think it made a huge difference to him to know that there was somebody in his corner that would talk with him openly and honestly about what he was experiencing without trying to hide things.
Yes, I found just by gently asking, it really conveys to that person a sense of empathy that we're aware and we're all human. So that's very powerful going to the relationship building that, that many people would benefit as we as a community engage in that kind of discussion with people that we're worried about.
And so what can our communities do to try to reduce the depression and anxiety that people may be experiencing and other conditions that may lead to suicide? What can we all do to be better neighbors?
Yeah, I think at the top is really relationship building again. Helping the person connect with others, connect with community organizations, maybe spiritual houses of worship, hobby activities, of course, diet, exercise, access to treatment. All of those are important. And of course, everyone is different. Everyone is unique. So what might work and help for one person may not be for another. And how you get to that is have a conversation with the person. I think another unfortunate issue is stigma. There's still the stigma that we have in our society that, you know, if one is struggling with addictions or struggling with mental illness, that it's somehow because of their character. And so we have to educate ourselves as a community around these different types of things and not be a bystander, but engage people that we are connected with.
Yes, really, really good points. So if someone who's listening to this program is thinking about committing suicide or is concerned about a friend or family member who might be contemplating suicide, how can they get immediate help?
We got a couple of options here in Delaware County. One is MCAT, which is the Mobile Crisis Assessment Team. We actually have someone in-house here at our clinic, and they would make an attempt to see the person face-to-face to engage them. If that's not logistically possible, they will communicate and engage them via telephone. We have the 988 that you mentioned before, and the individual could call our clinic. The telephone number, by the way, for MCAT, it's toll-free. It's 844-732-6228.
One more time,
MCAT. 844-732-6228.
And when would you call that them?
They are available 24 hours, 7 days a week.
But for what? What would you call them for?
If a person is in any kind of mental health or behavioral health crisis to include suicidal behavior thinking.
And then you have this marvelous mental health center over in Walton.
Yeah.
And providing a lot of services that we talked about before on this program. If people would like to, and you, I was so impressed, Doug, because that day I said, if I needed to see somebody, how soon could I get in? And you said, we would see you that day or the next day.
Yeah.
So how can people reach that, your mental health center?
So our clinic, located here in Walton, our telephone number is 607-832-5888.
One more time.
607-832-5888. And we do have what's called open access, meaning that if a person calls today, we will make every attempt to see that person today. If they call toward the end of the day, we close at 6. If the person calls a few minutes before 6 and are on the other side of the county. Logistically, they may not be able to get here in time, but we will still have a conversation with them and provide services based on what is the immediate need at that time.
And Doug, you do have a website that's based, I think it's part of the county website. Do you have that handy?
If any of your listeners would like to go to Delaware County, New York, and you could find our tab on that website. We are in the process of overhauling it. We have a lot of new staff, some new initiatives going on here at the clinic. So we are in the process of revamping our behavioral health website for the county.
Great. Doug Elston, Director of Community Service that oversees mental health and substance use behavioral health services in the county. Thank you so much for coming back on to Health Center in the Catskills. Anytime you want to come on, you've got a place.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure, Diana.
Have a great day.
You too. We'll be right back.